Satan points at our sins, and Christ points at his wounds, and the Father reaches a verdict. We are acquitted.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our passage is Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 24 to 28. And our subject is the great works of Christ in our behalf. The great works of Jesus Christ for you and me. And it means to me that the King of the universe becomes the servant of his subjects. He comes to serve us. He comes to meet our needs. I want you to notice with me three great provisions which come to us through Christ's loving work in our behalf. I want you to notice with me three great provisions which come to us through Christ's loving work in our behalf. I want them to be a source of encouragement to you. Maybe you need to be encouraged. I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to be a blessing to you. I'd like this revelation of what Jesus Christ has done for us to be a source of encouragement and motivation. Maybe it will encourage you. I'd like to inspire you to be a more faithful, dedicated servant of God in view of all that Christ has done for you. I'd like to instruct you so that you know a little bit more precisely the effect of the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps God's Spirit would go so far as to convict you. We must humbly and gratefully claim by faith all that Christ has done for us and act upon it. And I want you to notice with me these three great provisions. Now, what are they? I see three great works of Christ in our behalf in these verses. The first thing I see is Christ's advocacy. He's our advocate. And I think that's in verse 24. He represents us in the throne room of heaven. He's there now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ's advocacy. The second thing I see is Christ's atonement. And I see that in verses 25 and 26. He offered himself once that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then the third thing I see is Christ's advent, the promise of his coming, and the blessings that will attend that. Now let's look at those for just a moment. The first thing I see is in Hebrews 9 and verse 24, and it's Christ's advocacy. Do you know what an advocate is? Christ is our advocate. He represents us in the throne room of heaven. The Bible says an advocate is one summoned to aid. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. Jesus Christ represents us in the supreme court of the universe. He stands in our behalf in the highest court of the universe. He stands before God in the throne room of God. Satan points at my sins, he points at yours, and unfortunately, sometimes we provide him with too much material. Satan points at our sins, and Christ points at his wounds, and the Father reaches a verdict. We are acquitted. We are declared righteous. We are justified. We are forgiven because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a special service in our behalf. Now I want to go a step further. Not only Christ's advocacy, but I want you to see Christ's atonement. Now, that's the second great work of our Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. At this moment, he appears in the throne room of heaven as our legal representative, as our advocate, visually demonstrating by his wounded body. He still bears the marks of the cross in his body. Visually demonstrating by his wounded body that our sins have already been paid for and no claim of Satan will be admitted or heard. We are acquitted. What a blessing. But then secondly, there is atonement. Atonement is the act by which reconciliation between two parties is provided. Atonement. That's why Jesus came, to make atonement between ourselves and God. Atonement is the act by which reconciliation between two parties is provided. And as I look at verses 25 and 26, very quickly I see two things about that atonement. One, I see the finality of Christ's atonement in verse 25. And two, I see the design of Christ's atonement. Verse 26. When I say that I see the finality of Christ's atonement, I mean that the author of Hebrews states it positively and negatively. Negatively, he says, Christ has not offered himself often. Christ has not offered himself often. He does not go in and out of the true sanctuary, offering himself many times as a blood sacrifice to God. The repetitive nature of the Old Testament sacrifices was a vivid and it was a very graphic demonstration of their impotence, of their temporal nature, of their inability to have a lasting effect. They could never permanently expiate sin. But the finished work of Jesus Christ can. He does not go into that temple often. In fact, those who advocate in our day and age a continuing sacrifice of Christ, the construction of an altar at the front of the church, and the continuing sacrifice of Jesus Christ, those who advocate that continuing sacrifice day by day, week by week in their religious ritual have violated a very clear principle of the Word of God. He does not offer himself often. He offers himself once. So says the Scripture. The Scripture means to say that no more sacrifice is needed for sin. If you're here without Jesus Christ, if you're bound hand and foot, if you're in the grip of a situation from which you cannot deliver yourself, we want you to understand that Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary to extricate you, to deliver you, to set you free from sin's penalty, sin's power, and ultimately sin's presence when he comes again. Nothing else needs to be done. He offered himself once, and that has eternal and infinite efficacy because of who he was. Jesus Christ, because of his infinite personality and impeccable character, was adequate to make one offering that is good for all time. It has infinite efficacy because it comes from an infinite personality. Through Christ's sacrifice, the road to God is forever open. Nothing need ever be added to what he did. The finality of Christ's atonement. The Bible says he offered himself once. Even the grammar significant. Hapax is the Greek word. Once. And it means, it describes an event that is unrepeatable. It cannot be repeated again. Once for all. There is an absoluteness to the finality of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Nothing remains to be done except for you to claim it by faith and to enjoy its benefits. And then there's the design of Christ's atonement. It's in verse 26 there. The finality is stated in verse 25 and also verse 26. But the design of Christ's atonement, there are three thoughts there as I look at it. One, you notice he says there near the end of verse 26 that he came in the end of the world, literally in the end of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is the design of the atonement, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I see three ideas right there at the end of verse 26, I believe it is. One period is emphasized in the end of the ages. One purpose is emphasized to put away sin. And one payment is emphasized by the sacrifice of himself. One period is emphasized in the end of the ages. The word ends, a special word, soontelia is the Greek word. It's a technical term in the Greek New Testament. It's a word that speaks of a goal, a purpose, or an aim. And we're meant to understand by its use here that Calvary, what Jesus did on the cross, Calvary is the goal, the purpose, the aim, or the very focal point of all the ages. It's the terminus toward which they have all been moving. All previous ages led up to Calvary, and all succeeding ages are governed by what happened there, and they look back to it. There's nothing quite so important. There's nothing quite so valuable. There's nothing quite so powerful as that which happened on the day Jesus died at Calvary. It's the focal point of all of history, and every one of us who have looked to that cross and that resurrected Christ by faith Every one of us who have reached out in faith and received him as our Lord and Savior, we've experienced the dynamic and the power and the value of what he achieved when he died there. One period is emphasized. One purpose is emphasized, to put away sin. That's a powerful phrase. Jesus' atonement was designed, Jesus' atoning death was designed to put away sin. What does it mean to put away sin? It means to abolish it. That's what the Greek word means. Athetasis is the Greek word. It means to abolish it, to make it void, to set it aside, to annul it, to declare it invalid. It's an interesting word, athetasis. It was used in the ancient world in several ways. It was used for annulling a treaty. It was used for abrogating or revoking a promise. It was used for scoring or erasing a man's name from the register of a city. It was used for rendering a law or a regulation inoperative. And what the author means to teach us is this: the whole condemnatory paraphernalia of the law of sin, the whole condemnatory paraphernalia of the law of sin has been rendered inoperative and void as a result of what Jesus Christ did on our behalf on the cross. It is annulled. We are released. We are set free. Free when by faith we receive it as that special gift, when by faith we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. What Jesus did in our behalf annuls or cancels the power of sin to condemn and control us. Sin in its totality no longer has any legal force over those who have taken refuge in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Sin can no longer condemn us because its penalty's already been paid. Sin can no longer control us because we are progressively liberated from its power as Christians. Sin can no longer confine us because someday we will be set free from the very presence of sin when the Lord Jesus comes again. One payment, one period in the end of the ages, one purpose to put away sin, one payment by the sacrifice of himself. Before the Lord Jesus came, the high priest on the Day of Atonement sprinkled blood in what was called the mercy seat in the inner sanctum of the temple, but it was always the blood of another. It was the blood of another, not his own blood. But when Jesus came, the Bible says, the last phrase of Hebrews 9 and verse 26, when Jesus came, the Bible says, he sacrificed himself. Not the blood of others, it was his own blood that made atonement for sin. Jesus Christ was both the priest and the offering. He was both the executioner and the victim. It was an expression of his unconquerable love for you and for me. A part of that baffling paradox that the king of the universe will become the servant of his subjects and the sacrificial lamb essential to save their souls.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
As the Lamb of God at his first coming, he appeared as the Savior. As the Lion of God at his second coming, he appears as the Sovereign.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.